start again.
There's a whole side conversation going on. It's perfect. Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
They don't respect the process.
On. I watched
Infinity Wars.
Yeah. No.
Good movie.
Great movie. Bad follow up.
I watched this documentary about the number Infinity.
Oh yeah.
And it's really, really good. And the thing. Yeah. The thing.
The snake eating itself.
Did they actually find the end of it?
What do you think? What do you think?
What's the final number of Infinity?
It's called Infinity for a reason.
So there's a documentary on Netflix called Infinity, and it's really cool because you were talking about, like, what is the speed of sound, like, all this sort of stuff and light. And it's talking about, like, it covers infinity from, like, a philosophical standpoint. It covers it from a numerical standpoint. It covers it from a, like, a physics standpoint. And it's talking, and then it covers it from, like, a whole point of, like,
what's it on?
It's on Netflix. Netflix. It's really good. Ooh. Really, really
wait,
good.
Wait, what's
it's called Infinity.
Oh.
We've talked about it for three takes in a row now.
We could be sponsored by Infinity.
Yeah.
I would like that.
Do you think I listen to you? That's the question here.
So it's really cool because it talks about how it reminded me of this because it explores things from every single angle, right? It's like, what is it like according to this? What is it like according to this? And all these people are there together at the same time and they keep referencing other like scientists, they're like, I wonder, they're like, this is what I think, but I wonder what like Bill thinks. He's a philosopher, and I saw him here because you guys are making this movie, cool. And they'll all like reference each other and they'll know each other in the community.
Maybe that should be a TED, our next TED event.
It was really cool.
We have
it
narratives this year.
TEDx Infinity?
TEDx Infinity. To Infinity and beyond.
Yeah, like Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah,
great. Our next theme.
But anyway, it reminded me of the way that we approach like our topics and dyslexia. We try to cover it from a lot of perspectives.
Try to.
Yeah, not that we always do, but it's just, I thought it was really neat, and it's just a very good documentary that people should watch. And it's very mind-blowing. But it talks about, one of the things that was cool, and this is what reminded me of it first place, was you talked about the speed of sound and light, and it's all, what it was covering was like, it's all relative, right? They're like, speed of light's super, super fast until you're traveling to like the Andromeda Galaxy, and then it takes forever, right? And then it takes a really, really long time.
Yeah.
So it's like, like this works in this perspective, but it might not work in this perspective. So it's all, and I think that a lot of the stuff that we talk about it can be relative as well, right?
Yeah,
as
we always talk about the speed of light.
Yeah, every episode we talk about the speed of light
and the British Empire
They can't shut up about it.
But I don't know. It was just, I think it was kind of a neat piece about how you can look at things from multiple angles, and it's a great documentary.
Yeah, and I think that really tied into our last episode when we were talking about our Halloween episode, where we were talking about making random connections.
Exactly.
And so I thrive on that, too. I love it to see from a different angle.
Yep.
What was it called? There's a theory. It's called terministic screens. And it's like everyone has a screen that they look through, and I forget the theorist behind that. But
I get
like
what you're saying. Yep.
You get more screens together, and you get more of an idea of what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and they say that that's kind of how we view, I mean, that's what you're saying, right? That's how we view everything. They're like, everybody's touching that. What is it? The elephant and the hole?
The elephant. A tail.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what everybody's approaching every topic with.
Yeah.
But we don't. What's so funny, Bridget? What's so funny?
I'm imagining everyone touching the elephant in the hole. And it just doesn't sound. It doesn't sound fun.
Sucks
for the elephant.
Yeah, it does suck for the elephant.
Can you please elaborate on this elephant thing?
Oh, you've never heard this?
I don't think I have.
Gave consent.
So,
I just want to put that out there.
Kenneth Burke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Terministic screens. I should have known. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So there are two guys fall into a hole, and there's a Lucas asked me to explain.
And they're blind.
There's
an elephant in there.
Yeah, and there's an elephant.
So they're trying to explain the elephant to each other.
No, they don't know it's an elephant. That's the point.
But there's a creature in
there. There's something in there. One guy thinks it's a wall. One guy thinks it's a tree. One guy thinks it's a snake because he grabs the tail. And what they don't realize...
And the elephant gave consent.
And what they don't realize is that there's an elephant in there.
Right.
And all the guys have a different perspective.
They see something.
I mean, that's
different.
Basically
that's
what
terministic screens.
Yeah,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, when you actually think about the build of the elephant, they actually... Yeah. It is a crazy looking animal when you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's a very, very, very old philosophical thing.
Right.
Don't think it's Plato, but it's somebody.
It doesn't sound like Plato. Yeah.
One of those guys. Dude, he's more about caves, less about
Plato
elephants.
Like, yeah, it's the cave and the light.
He likes shadows.
Yeah.
The allegory of a cave.
You're so dressed up.
What?
You're so dressed up.
Yeah, look at you. You're like a real director now.
I know. Like, I feel like he's actually all, listen we'll to
him. I know. Well, yeah, it actually helps. I got to be honest.
Well, you see, I'm channeling Christopher Nolan here because that's what I'm doing here. I'm trying to direct this chaotic mess.
Christopher Nolan?
Okay. The Dark Knight trilogy.
Is that,
Prestige.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Inception. Like that Interstellar.
Yeah, he's good.
Superman?
Tenet. Dunkirk. He produced it.
No, he's Spider-Man.
Oh, he does the... Tom Hall? You're talking about Tom Holland?
Yeah, he's the reporter in Spider-Man.
Okay, now I get it.
I am so...
He also plays Yoda.
Okay, the baby Yoda, though.
Yeah, baby Yoda.
Only baby Yoda.
Okay, I am so close to throwing something.
We're on board. You got some notes? Here. Let's dive back in.
So, that Made by Dyslexia training, I've been doing that.
Yeah.
So, one of the things they talk about, which is really odd... Is that we have trouble concentrating?
No way. Yeah. There's no way. That can't be true.
It reminds me of that joke of the guy that got fired from the orange juice company because he couldn't concentrate. You've heard that? Yeah. So
I haven't.
You haven't heard that one? No. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Anyways.
It's an old one. Okay. So, yeah, we have trouble concentrating, they say, on this video. Do you agree with that?
So it depends on what it is, right?
Oh,
it definitely depends
on... If it's Mandalorian, I'm going to concentrate.
You're going to concentrate. I mean, you built that whole suit.
Yeah.
Which you saw in the last episode, right?
Right.
And we still have the helmet here.
We actually don't know which episode it will be, but probably the previous one. I don't know. Our schedule's weird.
Well, we don't have an episode this week, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, technically, there's difficulties. Say.
Well, we'll figure it out.
I will figure it out. What are you talking about?
But I think...
Anyway, sorry.
Collective we.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
So, I think it depends on what you're talking about, because I stay very focused on, like...
Documentaries.
Yeah, documentaries for sure. I am riveted into those. And
do you remember the camera angles and the way the screen is shot on different things? Yeah,
yep. I remember how they did it.
Yeah,
right?
I'm like, I remember that shot. Because we'll be watching, like we were talking about Ford the other episode.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, they used that shot in another documentary. I remember that shot. And Christy's like, what?
Well, you said you didn't like...
On the cars that built America, they used the same shot.
Before we even started this, there was a documentary series you and I were both watching like in tandem. And you were like... They just keep repeating the same shots.
Oh,
and I like
that.
It. I don't remember what it was, but you were like, yeah, the whole 3-hour documentary, they're just throwing the same images in there.
Wait, the same clip?
Yeah, same clip. Yeah.
Oh, so they're doing the Kuleshov effect.
Yeah, exactly. That's
what's
what
that called?
The Kuleshov effect.
It's like Ken Burns effect where they zoom in on a camera.
I think it's called the Kuleshot effect.
Kool-Aid shot.
Yeah, the Kool-Aid shot. Kuleshov.
Everyone does the Kool-Aid shot.
Russian montage theory.
But no, we focus just fine.
Kool-Aid shots.
No, but what I was saying was... I think it depends on the content very. And I wonder if people that are dyslexic focus well on the same things, or if like different dyslexic people focus differently, or if we're all typically interested in the same type of stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd be interested to see what people think about that, because
they say we have trouble concentrating.
Yeah.
Which, so we got that, but I think you're right. I think it depends on what it is.
Well, and I like I work in a project-based job. I like all my projects, and I stay very concentrated on them, and I can work on them for a long time, and it doesn't really bother me.
I mean,
I have trouble concentrating on multiple choice tests.
Yeah.
I can say that.
Yeah, because
right?
It's hard
on
to ask them what they're asking.
Exactly. On traditional stuff, I'll just kind of push myself away on that.
Like for me, when I'm teaching, like I have music on.
Really?
Like, I like to have music now.
Like, light?
Just, yeah. NPR.
WFPK, yeah.
Yeah, which can be really good unless there's, like, interviews. Then I'm, like, I'm talking over someone else and I have to mute it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, like, I like music.
Just
I like
some sort of noise
going on. Yeah, the first thing I do when I get to my office is turn on music and then put on the space camera from International Space Station.
Yeah,
and
that's
I have that
a good
on one computer
do.
And then I have a work computer, you know. So I just like that music.
I think back now to that proposal when you're like, I need multiple monitors. And they were like, oh, yeah? Why? And you were like, well, I need the International Space Station to be on one of them so I can watch it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I like to think that you actually said that. And you were
I didn't say that,
but yeah. No, but I think...
And I have a large screen. I have lots of screens. I don't love screens.
Yeah.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So to talk about, you know, concentration and all that, do you think it depends on the setting? Because it's different when you're in your office. You're a more comfortable setting, familiar setting, rather, if you're taking a test... You know, we already talked about ACTs in previous episodes.
Oh,
you're
in a whole
system. Don't talk about when you're at home.
That's a good question.
What do you mean? Like,
how do you concentrate at home?
I don't.
When Thank you.
There you go.
I'm going from one thing to the next.
And then you switch and forget what you were doing.
And then I forget what I was doing. Yeah, I have like five different projects
I do
going
that.
On,
I do probably I kinda, do that exact same
I'm
thing.
I'm doing the pinball thing.
Yeah.
So I have to go to work so I can like be in my office.
I can
helps
get
me.
Into my office and concentrate. Like I have an office upstairs and I can get in there. But if I'm outside of there, I'm not concentrated at all. Like even I was working today and Bridget came up and I didn't even like see her. Like, she came up and looked and saw that I was doing
it's,
stuff and just walked
it's
back
It's not like
down.
I'm
like,
stressed.
I can really... No. I just I have just, to...
Oh, what's that? Oh, look.
Yeah.
Hey, shiny. You know, like, that can, kind of thing.
That's...
Like,
oh,
hand, me
that's,
a, hand me the squirrel.
That's,
yeah,
that's
totally.
Me to a T.
Yeah, when and I'm out.
Yeah.
When in the classroom, I'm looking at every student's face to see, like, oh, someone's in trouble. I could tell.
Yep.
I can just see it.
You can just look at it.
How can you tell, actually?
I don't know.
That's a whole... We've talked about that
a
couple
a teacher
times.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's teacher thing, but it's also, I think, a dyslexic thing.
Yeah.
Like, you just feel the energy of somebody
See.
In some
well,
ways. Or, like, read...
If you're a good teacher, you can
do yeah, yep. but if you're dyslexic, yeah. it's a superpower.
See, I'm autistic,
That's
so
true.
Facial expressions and body language are not my thing,
yeah.
but I do recognize behavior. Like, if I know you pretty well and I see you're acting differently in one scenario... Like, compared to other
yeah.
similar scenarios, I'm like, something's not right.
I have
right
a story.
Here.
So, did I tell you about the time I almost killed a city council member?
Oh, God.
Okay, stop everything. We need to hear this story right now.
It's okay. It's legal. Like,
yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Definitely
so
tell it.
It was, I was a poor PhD student, mm-hmm. and my wife and my little daughter didn't have TV. So, we had you know, video cassettes and stuff.
Yep.
But we didn't have TV. We couldn't afford cable. Couldn't afford much of anything. And so we made friends with a city council member, and he would invite us over to watch the Extreme Home Makeover.
Okay.
That was really popular. Now, like, I see how horrible it was because everyone went bankrupt because they couldn't afford the
it's
taxes.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
But at the time, it was, like, a fun show.
Really
so
cool.
we would all go
yeah.
watch it, and it seemed uplifting. And, like, look, Henna, they're helping people. You know, that kind of stuff. It's good to teach your daughter that. And so we had a friend who had a bee colony. And he gave us honey. And so we would make bread or and cheese for him. Christy would do that
That's
and
awesome.
Trade with for honey. So we got lots of honey. I mean, so much. I was like, what am I going to do with this honey? And I was like, I know. We'll go Beowulf and make some mead, right?
There you
so,
go.
Yeah, it'd be great. So I made wine. I made beer. I made.
You reference Beowulf more than anybody that I've ever met.
I've only referenced Beowulf like four times.
Today.
Okay.
Today well, you've right. referenced it twice.
Off camera.
Yeah,
a lot of
times, camera,
actually.
Lots, anyway.
Anyway.
I liked it.
First
that's
English
it's
novel.
Good.
It's important.
It was a compliment.
Okay. So, yeah. So they're drinking mead in Beowulf. I was like, I want to make some mead. So figured out how to do it. Went to my, like, supplier to get the right yeast and made mead. And I remember before we secondary fermented, I tasted it. So you ferment it, then you secondary ferment. That's mm-hmm. what you do for most stuff. And I tasted it. And I had this, like... It was weird. I had this like feeling that I was flying through a field of flowers.
What?
It was weird. I like connected to a bee, like in a way. That was really weird. It was weird. No, mead. It was just mead. And
what do you put in that mead?
It's just honey.
It's
just
honey.
Honey. It's
honey
and yeast.
Honey and yeast.
Little LSD.
So I finished it and I was like, this is going to be awesome. I tasted it and I was like, I don't have that feeling anymore, but it's still good.
Yeah.
It's really good. So we're like, hey, Gearnut, I'm going to bring some mead over. He's like, great. You know, so we go to Extreme Home Makeover and we're
Yep.
Drinking porn, little porn bits of mead. You know, not, you know, responsibly.
Having a good time.
Responsibly.
Just enjoying yourselves.
So. And I head out. We're heading out. And I told Christy as soon as we got in the car, I was like, it's not feeling well. Yeah. He's like a big German guy. Very
yeah.
energetic. Like ADHD German. I was like, he's not feeling right. I could just tell he wasn't feeling right.
Oh, I
yeah.
see where you're having
And so the next week we came over to watch it again, the show. And I was like, Gearnut, how did you... Were you feeling okay last week? He's like, I went to the hospital after you left.
Oh, my God. It
turned out he had, like, a honey allergy.
What?
Yeah.
As a kid.
Did he know this?
As a kid,
he knew he had a honey allergy, but he didn't think it would be a...
No,
like,
it
was
bee sting allergy. It wasn't
I don't remember what it was.
Whatever,
but
yeah.
He totally did not connect the two until we left, and he was like, I have to go to the emergency room right now. And so I didn't know this. We just had our nice
week.
He spent the night in the emergency room. They thought he was having a heart attack because he's like kind of a big guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not having a heart attack. This is an allergy. And
that's
yeah.
terrifying.
So, yeah, he was like, yeah, I felt like I was going to die. So God, I'm so glad I didn't kill my friend Kieran.
Yeah, that would have been really
bad. It would have been bad.
That would have been a different type of interesting story for
the That would have been a bad story. Yeah, I'd be like,
I don't know. Yeah, so I totally killed this guy. It was totally a malice. It was great.
Yeah.
Fun story.
But that's like reading somebody.
Yeah, I have a lot of instances. Right. I have a lot of instances like that now where it's something going on and at work, and we need to figure out like what the roadblocks are with this customer or with this other person, blah, 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 and they just tell me to go in there. They're like, Jacob will figure
it
out.
Do it. Figure it out.
Yeah, they're like, Jacob will figure out what the problem is.
Yep.
And it just one part of the superpower, right? I think it's a connection for for you being an educator as well. I agree, but also there's just more to it that you can really, because I think we just spent, and I know probably a broken record for people that listen to this a lot, but we just spent so much time looking at people because we weren't looking at the board, looking at the marker board. We weren't looking at the teacher because we didn't know what they were talking about.
Right.
And so you're looking at people and you were like, what are they getting out of this? And then you're learning when they connect and when they don't connect, but you have no idea what they're looking at. Cause I couldn't read off the board until I was in like high school, you know? And that was when I was going through school, it was the big time of up, down, or down, up, down, up, right? You're copying off the board. It's like, there's no way I can do that. So I'm just out. And now I'm watching my friends. I'm like, what are you getting out of this? What are you getting out of this? And I think that's learned a lot of the connection of understanding when people are into something and when they're not, and when they're getting it and when they're in a good place and when they're not in a good place. Cause while other people were looking at the board, I was looking at them.
And you know, the board's not that old. You know that, right? Like chalkboards weren't around that long. They were invented in Scotland. I forget what year. You could probably Google it, but only a couple hundred years ago.
Really?
Yeah. So you used to get a slate, right? And you would write with chalk on your slate. Yeah. And then the teacher would walk around and check your writing.
Oh, I remember seeing that.
I've seen it in a few movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so having like a slate on a wall was a really revolutionary idea. Before then,
I would have much rather a slate in front of me than up on the wall.
Well, the thing was, you were still copying. I mean, you think of early, like the monastic traditions or whatever. You would, as a monk, you would sit still at a
station. Okay. Yeah, and you'd be
the monk would read, and you would write it down, and then they would sell that for money to fund the monastery. That was like common.
Yep.
And so you're just writing what you're hearing, right? And that's what early education was. So being a person of letters. Yeah, you were getting letters, but you were also like writing all these things down. You wrote your own books.
That's how you got your education.
That was it. You wrote the book. You wrote the book. You wrote all of Plato's work. You wrote all of Socrates' work. You wrote all Aristotle's work. You wrote it by hand.
What's the year, Bridget?
It just says the 19th century, but it was a Scottish dude.
Yeah, but a long time ago.
Through a big
probably dyslexic guy.
Yes.
Dyslexic.
Also,
invented it, I would
strong
bet.
To just put a giant flat rock up on.
Yeah. That's well, slate lot. You can cut.
That's Scottish
thin.
For sure.
Yeah. But, oh, we have questions, right?
Yeah. Can we move? Can we put Bridget on camera? Do you want to be, or do you want to be on a microphone? We're just going to ask these questions you guys have asked us this week.
What's your shirt?
It's about reproductive rights.
Nice. I like the flower.
Let's
a fist.
Well, let's get that on the camera over here.
No beard on that one.
Yeah. We'll just pivot that one.
Just pivot that camera.
I don't want to
pivot. Okay. No pivoting.
Pivot!
We just sound just with that one, so.
This is dyslexic untied, not pivot.
Yeah, this is not pivots untied.
Dyslexic pivots.
This is dyslexic tied
just
down by the camera.
Just talk into that one. There you go, Bridget. Perfect.
Can I awkwardly look over his shoulder?
Yeah. Okay.
Please do. All right. Okay. Here we have Bridget with some questions.
Okay, this is a question from someone named John Henry. It's
what a good name.
Pretty
good
long, name. But I'll
it's
read
fake.
Most of it. So they are a PhD student studying philosophy. They are dyslexic, and they are working on studying the phenomenology of dyslexia. So a major theme and problem that they're running into is that nearly all philosophers of the 20th century argue that thinking can only be possible and occur with language.
Yeah.
This means that...
It drives me crazy.
It's such a bunch of...
This means that most of my peers and fellow academics are sure that it is completely impossible to think without words.
That's why Helen Keller never did anything.
Exactly, that's why I can't think, you know?
Yep.
When I try to explain...
Autistic. I don't hear my thoughts.
When I try to explain spatial visual thinking... that it does not require or use words, at least all the time, people often dismiss that and either say it's impossible or it does use words and I just don't realize it. My questions are, how can I effectively explain to people examples of spatial visual thinking? Two, can you do an episode about spatial visual thinking? What it's like for dyslexics, how it does or doesn't use words for you, etc.
What?
That's your question.
Okay. I was about to say, let's have him on.
Wow, yeah, PhD student.
Yeah, let's have him call in.
Where is he?
I don't know.
Next episode?
Yeah, John Henry.
Looks like not he a made up left name.
This
on Instagram.
I can reach out to him.
Yeah, so
yeah. Yeah, reach out to him.
To John Henry, like that drove me crazy too, because everyone were, even in rhetoric, it was like the idea of a lot of people were like, if like our thoughts come from our language. And that drove me crazy.
Yeah.
I was always disturbed by that. And again, Helen Keller would, like, one example.
Yep.
Someone who has thoughts, who's really thinking, but is trapped.
Yep. And they can't.
Locked into the world. They can't put it onto anything. Can't communicate with anybody, but has thought. And Helen Keller has a lot of stories about what was like being mind locked.
So is the confusion here for people, like, that if it can't be put into words and it can't be pre-put into words, then how can it be anything?
Thought?
Yeah, like how can it even be a descriptive thought?
I mean,
right?
My dog thinks.
Exactly. Yeah, and like people with no language sense or anything like that would mm-hmm. still think, and it's not.
I like watching my dog think, trying to solve figure a problem. Things out. Yeah, what? My older dog, not so much.
Right.
Kind of frustrating. My younger dog, yeah, very clever. Like, whoa, that's interesting. I wonder mm-hmm. what you're going to do to get that treat away.
But there was no language involved.
No, there's no. I'm not even giving instruction.
And what was the second piece to it? It's
tying that into your experience as a dyslexic person, like, so
with spatial versus words.
Read it again. How can you do or can you do an episode about spatial visual thinking, what it's like for a dyslexic person and how it does or doesn't use words for you?
It's funny because it is really hard to explain in words.
Exactly.
That's
because we just talked about when Lucas goes, how do you do that? And it was like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know how to explain
but
it.
But that's all spatial.
Yeah.
That's all spatial.
And, like, that's actually something I can relate to as well, because, like, you know, like I was joking about just now, but it still is the truth. I can't hear my own thoughts. I see them. Now, I have, like, my own method of, like, planning out how I'm going to say something. That's a whole other thing altogether.
Right.
I'm not going to get into that. But, like, I feel like we associate, like, thought with language. But, like, but when you get into, like the disabled community, like, with, like, dyslexia, autism, and like others, that's not really the case. So
well,
like,
it's challenging because it's not. People struggle to believe in things that don't have tangibility, mm-hmm, right? So like, if I can't like see this word, grab this word, you know, understand it, and get around it, then there's no thought there, right? That's what the argument is, right?
Yeah.
If I can't get it and understand it, there's nothing there. But I mean, we have so many things in day to day life that what we're doing is not something you can grab or. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not malleable, right?
A real pain in the butt to explain.
Yep.
Exactly.
I think that's what we're running into here, but it's fascinating.
Chris will do that to me. She'll be like, "How'd you do that? How'd you, you know?"
It's like, just
this
like
is
a
broken,
no-win.
And I'm like, "Click."
Yeah. And that's me.
I don't know.
Like, think about.
I can't explain it.
Think about if you've ever been given like the difference in.
It'd be boring.
Would you say that someone couldn't put together a piece of Lego if they couldn't tell you how they did it? Right. You would say no. They could put together the piece of Lego. Right? They could put together the Lego, even if they couldn't tell you how they did it. That doesn't, you're looking at the Lego. You know they put it together. So I think that's, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's a big piece to it. It's like you see it almost in the results than more than in the process. But a lot of people that don't think spatially think about the process more than what it becomes. But we're running low on time.
And I think we kind of oversimplified things for John Henry for his PhD studies.
We'll get more into it.
I'd love to reach
out to John.
Let's actually have him on a call during an episode.
I think it'd be great.
How about that?
Yeah, I have to everyone like, brush up on my philosophy, man.
For sure.
It's been a long
time. I'm good with philosophy. Don't worry. I'll carry you. Don't worry.
Appreciate that.
I got
you. That's a big ask. But thanks again. That was our second episode. We appreciate all your comments and questions.
Yep. You have a question for me? Tune in next time when Jacob asks.
Ask something.
What type of shampoo do you use?
Good question.
Yeah, thanks.
I was like, I got a story for that.
I'm sure you do. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Hey, guys.
See you next time.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on Dyslexics Untied. New episodes every Saturday on Spotify and YouTube. Also, catch us on TikTok.